I mean, this is going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. What are we doing?
What we're doing is scratching our control group scratcher tickets. Okay. I mean, what's really happening here is magic. That's me talking to my producer, Ethan Cheel. This week, we bought a quick money spell from Etsy. Or I did. Ethan didn't, and he's our control group. We're testing the results of my totally normal adult purchase in the most responsible way. By scratching lotto tickets.
They look like... I scratched this bit, right?
Scratch the letters first.
These here?
At the bottom?
Yeah.
Because it is a fake crossword puzzle, which is the extra, I believe, that having to put the extra work in makes you more likely to win. And that is the scientific analysis based on dozens of scratcher tickets that I have scratched. Why did I buy a spell online? Because you can buy spells online. Jaya Saxena also hired an Etsy witch. She wrote about it for the Daily Dot. Jaya discovered that it was possible to purchase spells on the internet's never-ending craft fair while working on a different article about homemade Valentine's Day gifts.
My editor, Cooper Fleischman, was like, you have to order a spell. You have to do this. And so I just started looking around at what spells were available.
There are a lot of spells available online. Spells to make someone fall in love with you, spells to increase your financial prosperity, spells for weight loss and revenge and the supposedly elusive female orgasm. But Jaya knew there was only one spell for her.
I don't know. It just sort of seemed very obvious to me that a sex spell would be the one to choose. It seemed like it would be way more fun than anything else. And I asked my husband, Matt, if he was okay with me casting a spell on him for journalism. And he was like, go for it.
Finding a witch on Etsy, like shopping for anything else in a crowded online marketplace, requires some firm internal guidelines. Jaya didn't want to spend too much. Spells on the site can run into the multiple thousands, and many hover around the 200 or 300 range. As with any Etsy purchase, she wanted to be sure that she was dealing directly with the artisan, not a middleman passing off someone else's wares as their own. And perhaps most importantly, she wanted to get some bang for her buck in the form of evidence. She wanted proof that the spell had been cast. Jaya chose a store called Enchanted Land, buying a $23.60 better sex spell from a woman in Wales named Victoria. Victoria promised she would send pictures when the spell had been cast.
I appreciated it. It seemed like one Welsh witch in her seaside cabin that I imagine she lives in.
Although the spell concerned them both, Jaya didn't tell Matt what it was supposed to do.
I already figured that a heavy amount of witchcraft probably relies on the placebo effect. And I already had that. Like, I knew I was getting a sex spell. So I was operating in this heightened sense of like, all right, is the sex going to be better? Is it going to change? Like, and I figured that it would be a better test if he didn't know. So if his personality changed, then it would be a very clear, like, aha, something happened.
Magic is real.
Magic is real.
Magic is real. I mean, just for our listeners.
Yeah, duh. That's
it's totally real. The spell was cast a week after purchase, just as Jaya and Matt set off for a trip to California. They would be staying with friends in Los Angeles before traveling on to San Francisco, where they would share an Airbnb with Matt's coworkers. Neither was the ideal setup for mind-blowing, earth-shattering, volcanic sex. Still, the morning after Victoria's work went into effect, something happened.
We sort of woke up and felt that sort of like, oh, we need to do this right now. And I was like, hell yeah, this is it. Like, this is totally working.
Despite their rousing success, Jaya and Matt didn't want to be bad house guests. But when they landed in San Francisco, things would be different.
And I was thinking like, well, it's an Airbnb and we have our own rooms. So that's, you know, at least then I don't have to worry. It's more of a hotel, less of a roommate. And I proceed to get a terrible stomach virus.
Perfect.
Which I then pass on to my husband. So like, there was nothing that we could possibly do because we were both just disgusting and laid up in bed and
just like the least sexy situation.
The absolute least sexy situation possible.
The trip was rough and sex was not had. It wasn't until Jaya and Matt returned to New York that she finally told him what the spell was for. Here's Matt.
And my first thought was, what's wrong with the sex we're having? Until she told me that, no, it wasn't that. It was like the best spell that she could think of that was there on the menu. And I thought, oh, that's fine. And our sex is fine. Just getting that on the record. Like a jerk.
Matt had different expectations for the spell, specifically improving his basketball skills.
I thought, I don't know, it was going to like increase my speed or like give me extra points. Like
I'm sorry I didn't cast a spell on you for you to dunk better.
I would love to be able to dunk at all.
Next time.
Thank you.
But at home, Victoria's magic may have popped up again.
We got back and we were both better again and in our own house, at which point Yeah, the sex was great because we hadn't had sex in a week and a half.
Jaya says that if not magic, she now has a greater belief in the placebo effect.
Because I feel like once it was out in the open that, hey, this is what I paid for, then I feel like it was on both of our minds a little bit more and then just continued to snowball.
It's like
there.
The secret, almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like the secret. And as much as I have not read the secret and as much as
I don't think anyone's actually read the secret.
Right, but I believe that when it comes to something that you completely control, like literally your own body and your own sex life, that when you start thinking about things being better like that, then yeah, they sort of start changing.
We buy all sorts of stuff from the internet that doesn't really exist. A spell might be the ultimate intangible, but most of us buy things that we can't hold or touch or even explain the value of. When you purchase a bag of gold in Clash of Clans or five more lives in Candy Crush, you're not buying anything. You can even talk online to a therapist you've never met in real life. I would venture there's more trust and faith involved in that than with magic. But those aren't nearly the strangest things that people have thrown money at online. When an Ohio man created a joke Kickstarter aiming to raise $10 to make his first potato salad, he ended up with $55,000. Recently, Kanye fans flocked to eBay to purchase a memento from a Yeezus concert, a bag of air. The bag didn't even come with a ticket stub for proof. Bids exceeded $60,000 before eBay stepped in and removed the listing. Nothing can go for an awful lot on the internet. So what does it mean to sell an intangible online?
I am what would be called probably a modern mystic.
To find out, we hired our own spellcaster, a Californian named Millennia Obrizal. Like Victoria, Jaya's witch, Millennia sells spells on Etsy. That quick money spell I mentioned at the beginning of this story, I bought it from Millennia. Millennia puts a great deal of purpose and effort into her work. It's all about intention, she says. She meditates for hours to ensure that she's not passing any negative energy onto her clients and makes her own incense, her own oils, her own altar cleansing wash.
I prefer, if I can, to make things myself.
Yeah.
Because I want my own energy put into it, you know, really opposed to someone else's, which you really don't know what exactly they were thinking at the time they made it and, you know, what their vibe was. So.
Yeah. That's also sort of Etsy sort of ethos to have. That's all this like artisanal, handmade, real stuff of yours.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I hadn't even considered that until somebody actually told me, why don't you sell that stuff too?
Her shop, called Millennia Astoria, does feature her oils now, along with rituals intended to help you quit smoking or make you enviously beautiful, subliminal audio tracks for weight loss and anxiety reduction, an encyclopedia of spells, a porcelain bust of a buck painted with the night sky, and an ebook featuring all your favorite Starbucks recipes. She's a former barista. Millennia has been performing spells for other people for a year and studying the art of spellcasting for five. She's only been on Etsy for a few months, trying to shore up an online following so as not to be beholden to a local one. In the coming months, she plans to travel the country in an RV. The internet means a certain kind of freedom, and her online experience has been different from her real-world experience, not in terms of what people want, but in terms of how they ask for it.
In person, it is odd.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes. It's not really something that people are far more comfortable typing.
Sure.
Kind of like with text messaging. It's easier to text someone than it is to, you know, see them in person.
Handing your hard-earned money to a living, breathing human being and asking them to perform a magic spell for you is a high barrier to entry. Clicking a button on Etsy is easy. Clicking a button on iTunes or Amazon or eBay or Kim Kardashian Hollywood is also easy. But what we get for these clicks into the void is all in the eye of the purchaser. So, what about the quick money spell that Millennia cast for me? Oh my God, I've definitely got a bunch of... this is a winner, basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got a P and a U because this ticket stinks.
Oh, boom. I won $10 on that scratcher ticket. Ethan didn't win anything. But the spell cost $9.99 and the ticket was $5. Technically, I was still $5 in the hole. This morning, I put on my spring jacket for the first time in months. In my pocket, I found $20. That $20 had been in my coat all winter. I was always going to find it. But finding it when I did still felt spooky in a good way. I guess I got my money's worth. TLDR was hosted by me, Meredith Haggerty, and produced by Ethan Cheel. Our executive producer is Kat Rogers. Breakmaster Cylinder wrote our theme. Our engineer is Jen Munson. If you like the show, please subscribe on iTunes and go to onthemedia.org to read the TLDR blog. I tweet at many, many words and TLDR. This is TLDR.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.